Ah!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Pink.
And this is Star Wars TV Cast, episode 64.
This week, we are covering Star Wars Skeleton Crew, season 1, episode 5, titled, You Have a Lot to Learn About Pirates.
Yes. I feel like we learned a lot about pirates, and also... Yeah. I kind of had in my head who I thought was going to say the episode title. I had it narrowed down to two. And it worked out that it was one of those two. What were your overall thoughts on this one?
Man, well, last week the Neil Nation came in strong. Hashtag Neil Nation. This week, I'm switching teams a little bit. I am full on a whim warrior. Whim wizard, if you will. Wim was my boy this week for sure.
You're still trying to make Wizard happen.
And I will. I'm not trying. I'm succeeding. No, I loved this episode. Wizard episode. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was silly and goofy and ridiculous in all the best ways.
Yes.
But then, it's like there's a lot of humor. I was cracking up laughing so much on my first watch. And... also, then it just got, like, by the end, it got really intense and, like, emotional. And I was just quite the roller coaster there. Plus, there's a lot of great references and Easter eggs and fun little things that just... my Star Wars heart is so happy. Such a great episode.
It's great. Because you can bring those to light as we're talking about the episode. And you can clue me in on it, because I really don't know. Other than there were a few things. I really liked this episode a lot. We got some great character moments. We got a hut, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what a hut is.
Yeah.
Yes. We got more names for Jod.
Yeah.
We learned a little bit about the pirate who was the owner of the Onyx Cinder, which is mm-hmm. our pirate ship. We get the ultimate betrayal, and we get Catholops.
Yeah. That was fun. It's been something I've, like, just kept... I haven't said... I've known that the name of this ship was the Onyx Cinder since the first episode, because toys end up spoiling things so badly, like Lego sets and, like, different things, and so...
Yeah.
That information is out there, but I haven't said it on the podcast, because it hasn't been stated in the show until now, but yeah.
I did not know, and I did not look into Lego toy sets, but I did hear today that if I had gone down more, like, product toys that were available, I might have been spoiled, and I wouldn't have been that upset.
No, it hasn't bothered me knowing the name of the ship up until then. No. Like, it wasn't, like, a huge reveal of something. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. Now let's find out what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just for you when I was talking about Wim earlier. I was holding up my wonderful Wim Funko Pop, which is part of the whole collection because I caved and did the whole thing. I have the whole crew with me. I got Funkos of Wim, Fern, KB, Neil, and Jod.
Yes.
I got all five of them, and I love them so much. And they come and hang out here while I record. And like Wim is today, I pull one forward, and he gets to be the center of attention on my desk right here while we're going.
Excellent. I can't wait to learn who you're going to pick for next week.
Have to wait and see. Are we going to be Neil Nation again? We Wizard Wim? I don't know. Are we going to be part of the Fern fam? Are we going to be the KB crew? Jawed Junction? I don't know.
I'm not very happy with Jawed right now, but, you know, we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah, I thought this episode had a lot packed into it. And there were some high tension moments. And I'm really excited about some of the different little things that we learned in this episode, because some stuff got answered. Some things that I really wanted to know, which is more information into the backstory of the ship and the pirate and all of that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for us to be able to break this one down and get it out there. It's hilarious that we're recording this on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But the show must go on. We must do what we can.
Yes.
Is it after midnight? Definitely.
But yes.
We do what we can.
We work it
out. We do this for you.
Also, I can't believe that we only have 3 episodes left.
I know. Don't do that to me.
I'm not ready. I haven't read anything about, oh, there could be a season 2, or if this is just a one-shot deal. I have no idea, like, what could happen. I just know that I've really enjoyed it, and if there was a season 2 that came next year, I would be all over it and ready to do it again, because I've really enjoyed this so much.
Yeah, not ready for it to be over. I'm going to miss these kids, this crew. Of course, I'm going to keep watching it even afterwards, because Riley, who I take care of for work, watched this episode with me because I was spending Christmas Eve with him, and I forced him to watch it. Not really against his will. He seemed, I told him about the show and he seemed interested. So he just jumped in on this episode, loved it. And then he told me that he wants to go back and watch the first 4 and then keep watching it with me. So I'm like, all right, so I'm probably going to be rewatching it after the fact with him. So I get to let it live on a little longer.
I get the feeling that we're going to get to the end of the season and it's going to be time to watch and cover episode 8. And I'm kind of not going to want to watch it because I'm not going to want it to end.
Yeah.
Kind of happened with What We Do in the Shadows. Like, I put it off for a week because I didn't want to say goodbye to it. But it's funny that you mentioned not wanting to let these characters go, because that's how I feel about us doing Kids on Bikes. And I know I've said that to you. Like, I know that our you know, campaign is going to come to an end in the next month. And I'm not ready to say goodbye to my character because I really have developed her. So I'm also not ready to say goodbye to these guys. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that there'll be some way to continue this story outside of this.
For sure.
Loving this show. So glad to talk about it. So I guess we will go ahead and start getting into points in just a little bit. And take a quick little break, but then we'll be right back. We'll talk about some Skeleton Crew episode 5.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise-ready AI.
All right. I've got so many notes. So,
so do I.
Where do we start? Who starts? Where do we start? What do we do?
Oh, there's so much. There's so many different things. And trying to decide which one would be the right one to get started on is hard because I kind of want to talk about what happened at the end.
Yeah, that's legitimately the first big point I have on my list, so.
Is the end? Okay. We've been talking for the last, you know, couple of weeks about Jawed and whether or not he can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like throughout this episode, and even before this, the kids have been told not to trust him.
Yeah.
Which has kept me in the mindset of, it's not a question of if, it's going to be when.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week, as I was saying, like, oh, he proved himself. He's the, you know, Star Wars loves to have dads adopting kids, whether it's Mandalorian or or here or other places with the Bad Batch or whatever. But yeah, I said, like, man, I feel like Jod is going to pull the wool out from under him, you know, in front of their eyes, or pull the rug out from under him. By the end, I wasn't expecting it to be literally the next episode. Although, I still don't know. I have thoughts that still take me back and forth with him.
I wondered if, given the things that happened in this episode and things got intense and dangerous, if he feels this is the best way to keep them safe, to get them back to Aden.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have trouble listening.
Yeah, you really see that in this episode. They were full on kids, being kids in like ridiculous ways, which it was funny. It was great comedic effect, and it kind of played into that 80s coming of age, like kids kind of stuff. But then there were points you can see Jod's getting frustrated with it a little bit. You know, the whole wise elders thing, even though, I mean, what it was like, it was either two kids in a trench coat or or that. They went with that.
I was expecting the two kids in a trench coat, honestly. Like, if this was a cartoon, that would have been where they would have gone with it. But that is not what they did.
And then they're just dancing around and joking around while he's trying to bribe this hotelier, and you see it's kind of dingy. And then they get to the suite, and like, he's in panic mode because he's like, there are bounty hunters here. They know I'm here. They know what's going on. We are in danger. We've got to work fast. And they're jumping around on the bed having a pillow fight. And he's just like, had it up. He's like, all right, oh, this is what is, now I'm a dad. I'm like, he's like, and I've got to try to wrangle these kids in. And you get a lot of those great, crazy kid moments. I love the classic ones, you know, are you listening to any of this? Yes, we're listening. Oh, yeah, what did I just say? Are you listening to any of this? Okay.
I think we needed that scene, though, to remind us and him that they are kids. They are not adult wannabe soldiers. They are kids. Mm-hmm. They can't really understand how grave a situation is. He knows that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
He's tried to get that across to them. And I'm not sure that they really understood how dangerous it was. And so maybe he decided, this is the only way for me to ensure that I get these kids back to this planet safely. Because I do believe that he wants the treasure now that we know what it is.
Yeah.
But I do think he's grown to have some affection for this little group of kids. I think he wants to help them.
Yeah, that's so funny. Because, yeah, they get the data log, the coordinates to Aden, mission accomplished. They can go home. And then he starts questioning things. He's like, okay, so is it this, you know, is this the case here? Is this the case here? And then you see wheels turning in his head. And then that's where Fern is, you know, we have a deal. We're still upholding that deal, right? And then seemingly is when he turns on them, and it's a little dark. I mean, he acid baths the pirates, and the kids are like terrified of that. Although I don't think that's the end of all of them. We're definitely going to see Gunter again, right?
Oh, we my gosh, to. Gunter is still got to be alive. Come on.
Yeah, but then when he turns and challenges Fern to the captain position, that fight to the death or the captain yields, and having that just like yield, say you yield so I don't have to hurt you. And it was hard to watch, honestly, because these kids were devastated and terrified. And so part of me was like really angry watching that, especially because I was like, seeing KB cry broke my soul. How dare you, Jod? that is not what I wanted. So it was like really tough. But then part of me was still like, as rough as that is to do to them, because especially like Wim, after the lightsaber incident, like he was gonna be really cool, and then he screwed it up, and then you just see him cowering, and like he's terrified, and you feel so bad for these kids. But I'm like, is it still some kind of a play that he's making? You know, you can't trust Jod, so maybe all the way to the point that you can't trust not trusting him. Now it swings the other way. Like you were saying, what if this is actually him trying to protect and guarantee safety for them somehow? Like, I'm not exactly sure how that works, but him as captain, something, but like with this dude, he always keeps you guessing. So.
Well, he's got a million names, which we'll get to. Yeah. I mean, we learned some more in this episode. I really felt for Fern because I feel like she has really stepped into this leadership role among the kids and is taking it seriously. And for her to have that taken away from her, I think it broke her spirit a bit. And I'm interested in how she's going to respond to this in next week's episode. Like, how is she going to process this part of it?
Yeah. Because it wasn't even her terrified of, like, being challenged or having a knife at her throat. Like, what hurt her was she let her walls down and was vulnerable and trusted this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took advantage of that.
Yeah. And she, at first, was not going to go down without a fight. She was going to fight him. She was trying to figure out how, but it didn't work. He was bigger, stronger, you know, more experienced. And I think that's something, too, that these kids are learning about themselves is that on their planet, when they're able to do these, especially Neil and Wim doing these lightsaber, you know, enactments that they do, that this is a much different world and it's much scarier. And I think they are learning that they may not be as ready for it as they were thinking they could be ready for it. I mean,
yeah.
But if you look at how they were raised in this world where these things just don't happen, why wouldn't they think that they could handle it? Because,
right.
You know, why wouldn't it be similar to their upbringing where everything is a controlled environment? Like, do they even know what a pirate is? Like, this is something they're learning. I mean, what do they know? We've talked about this before. Like, what do these kids know about the outside at Atten world?
Nothing. I mean,
which is basically nothing.
Yeah. Very closed in.
They're learning all of these things. And I think Wim at the end, taking the lever and switching the lever and them dropping, he was taking them out of this situation. And I'm wondering how that's going to affect things for next week, because again, part of me is Jod, you're a jerk. I can't believe you did this to the kids. But also there's a part of me that thinks he's more connected to them than we think. And this is his way of protecting them.
Yeah. And I can totally see that being the case.
Yeah. I mean, what if the ship is taken over? If they're looked at as prisoners on the ship, I don't know. Does he think that that somehow is going to make them look?
I think so. I think. And again, it could go either way, because the fact that he takes them prisoner, quote unquote, makes me think that he has some kind of reasoning or a plan, because he's not abandoning them. He's making sure that they're with him.
Yeah.
Of course, devil's advocate on that, he could also be just planning to use them as bargaining chips. They're hostages for ransom when he gets to Atten. It could go either way.
Yeah, because they do have the coordinates now. They are able to get home. And with only 3 episodes left, and not knowing if we're going beyond this season, I have to figure that things are going to, at least this part of the storyline is going to get completed, maybe. So I'm interested in where we're going to go with that. But I also feel like these kids have been through so much. And part of what I want to talk about, I have in another point in something that happened. So I'm glad that we started with the end, because I feel like that is...
The end is the beginning.
I feel like the last couple of episodes, that's what it's been. The end of the episode has really, like, catapulted us into part of the stress of the next episode.
Yeah. And it works hand in hand with kind of the first bigger point that I have, which is just evil Jod. Question mark in general, but just talking about a lot of what we learn about or see with Jod this episode. Of course, him force pulling that harmless little knife back to him, because he's not going to go unarmed. He's going to always stay alert.
Mm-hmm.
wasn't expecting that knife to come back into play, kind of at the expense of Fern, but, you know, it's there. But just seeing the way he, like, immediately kind of has a plan where he says, like, empty your pockets, basically, like, give me every credit that you have, because he knows what he's going to have to do, and he's bribing their way into the suite, into these things, using all of the money, almost. While, again, the kids are just being kids, making things more difficult. And then, yeah, as he's there trying to bribe his way into the suite, Dash Zenton. And I remember when Pocket says that, I literally, on first watch, I out loud went, how many names does this guy have? And then as soon as I said that, Neil says exactly the same thing, and I cracked up laughing. I was like, see, we're on the same wavelength there. Neil Nation, all the way.
yeah, it's crazy. At one point, I'm just, like, writing things down from the episode, and I just start writing down all of these names all mixed in amongst each other. Like, who even knows what this is anymore? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it said Bounty Hunter Pocket recognizes Dash Zenton, or Captain Silvo, I mean Crimson Jack, I mean Jodhpur Nanowood.
yes. How many other names will we learn?
I don't know. One more. We got one more. Being chased by the security guard, he's like, you know, Dash Zenton, a.k.a. this, and he ends it with a.k.a. Jodwick Zank, and I'm like, oh, another name to add to the list of aliases. Okay.
Yep, there are so many.
Yeah, it's after meeting her, or running into her, that's incredibly, variably, majorly not good. They're on a time crunch. It's just a matter of time till an official bounty is on him with his location known now. And I love that the last thing kind of she says is to the kids, is like, oh, kids, don't trust this Sleemo, which is like, oh, classic Star Wars slang. Wizard! yeah, and she goes and calls up Brutus, and that crew is Lanupa bound.
Yes, Brutus. I've got tons of names for him, too. I just basically, you know, come up with whatever. Wolfie, I call him Wolfie. Because I always forget his name for some reason. So whenever I'm writing about him, it's usually Wolfie, the King Wolf, the Head Wolf, the Backstabbing Wolf, all of that. Because he's just so menacing.
Yeah. And then that cadet that stops Jod, or Professor Gorlax, which...
Oh my goodness.
Fun, because then, like, you notice that he's like, so you're Professor Gorlax. Yeah. Umium Gorlax from Scipio. And that's where his immediate reaction is like, run. There's the Star Wars nerd stuff. Scipio being the headquarter planet of the Banking Clan. And the Banking Clan is run pretty much exclusively by Mun, which is a species that Jod clearly is not. Okay. That's why he reacted that way.
All right.
That's why he's like, so you're Professor Gorlax from Scipio? Looking at him going, you don't look like a Mun. And says, like, yeah, we're going to go. Cover's blown, for sure.
So, did you know who played Pocket?
No. I was not fully familiar.
It was the amazing Kelly MacDonald.
Okay.
Who was in Trainspotting.
Okay.
She played the younger girl. She was also in No Country for Old Men. She played Josh Brolin's character's wife. It's so cool to see her pop up in this. When I heard her speak, I thought it was her, but I waited till after I was finished so I could check it out. And yep, she's in it. It's her. She's great. She's been in so many different things. She was in Black Mirror. She was in Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. One of the Harry Potter films. Yeah. But she's really known for Trainspotting. Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Okay. It's not something we'll cover on here or on Run for Your Lives, but I feel like you've got to watch it. You really have to. She has a very important role in Trainspotting, so...
Just too all the stuff on the list all the time.
I know. Too many things. Too much to do. It is how that it goes. But I really liked her character of Pocket.
Yeah, it was really cool. Bounty Hunter. And then, see, kind of got to the end. Talked about most of the other stuff with Jod. Yeah, At-Aten, last remaining Old Republic mint is what we get. So that's the treasure. Jod knows it's for real, so that's where he kind of switches that plan. And then we talked kind of some of those ideas. And then just where we left him at the end of the episode with a lightsaber, firing that baby up. So something tells me a really cool fight scene may be coming. Please, I'm ready. Let's do that. That'd be great.
It could. It could happen. I mean, I thought Wim was going to take him on with it until he had it upside down. Like, oh,
I loved that.
Wim.
I love Wim. But yeah, that that lightsaber, it was almost incredibly cool. And then, of course, he's holding it upside down because of course he is. And then, yeah.
I mean, he was eyeing it before he grabbed it. He's never seen one in real life like this.
Oh, no. That's why the second he saw that thing, because it was like, you know, they walk into the little lair there, and it was just like, yes, Wim, it is so wizard. But also, Wim, definitely don't touch anything this time. Control yourself, please, my guy. Like, don't. And then as soon as he's looking at the lightsaber, I was like, yeah, he's always in every timeline. 1,000,000,000% touching that. There's nothing you can do about it.
I love that it was Neil who figured out how to get into the tech portal, the tech piece. He's like, there's a lot of rotten food around here, but look at that roast there. And I'm just like, typical Neil. He looks at the situation, assesses it, and gives you the information you need to know.
Yeah.
He makes one misstep and almost ends up going down into a chute.
They still go down that chute at the end. That's what he's like, with this creative thinking trapdoor initiated, which is a risky gamble. Again, like, we don't know where that goes. So I was just like, okay, open episode 6. The impaled corpses of 4 children in a pit of spikes. It's now the Jodan SM-33 show.
I'm thinking it's going to be more like Star Wars, and they're in that big trash compactor.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but we will see in the next episode.
Well, I know we're back and forth-ish, but I was kind of starting to talk about that point with Wim a little bit. And that's my wizard Wim. Which also Wim's wizard count 2 in this episode. Me and this kid are going to keep it alive. We're bringing wizard back. It's going to happen.
In order to bring something back, you have to have said it once and had it be a thing.
Yeah, and that was a thing for sure. In my mind, at least. I don't know.
Okay.
We're making it happen.
Keep going.
So wizard. No, but I was just going to talk kind of Jod and Wim. So I'm combining those. It was really that one scene earlier in the episode.
Yes.
That was incredibly important to me. It was just, you know, Jod's reaction to finding Wim crying was first just like kind of hilarious, where he turns like, it's like, what's going on? He sees him and then catches him crying. And then he's like, oh, ew. Like, oh, crap. Emotional child in need of love and support. My worst nightmare. What am I supposed to do with that? I'm just going to leave. And then that's where he's just like, you know, you wanted to go on an adventure. Here's your adventure. And he's like, it's not what I expected. It's scary and confusing. And I don't know what's going on. And I'm missing home. And I miss my dad and my mom. And he's almost ignoring it until Wim mentions, and I can't see my mom again. And then I was like, yeah. With Jod, like, you can't leave a kid hanging after that.
No, you definitely can't.
And so Jod tries to comfort him in a very Jod way. Basically just telling him, well, just get rid of all attachments and only worry about yourself. And it is not the advice that Wim wants or needs. But he does follow that up with some really sweet words of encouragement. And again, in kind of his own way, where basically boils down to Wim's creative and adventurous spirit is going to serve him greatly. That he's the kind of person who's capable of achieving anything that he sets his heart on. And he gives him that inspiration. Like, you have a powerful imagination and you are somebody who accomplishes things. And I think that was something really important for him. And then even just lifting the pad back into his lap as if to say, like, keep dreaming.
Yeah.
Don't let things just be a fantasy to you. Like, keep following those kind of intuitions and those dreams and those fantasies because you can make them real. You set reality, right?
Yeah. I like that he said, make your life the one you want to live. Which we know. Awesome. Yeah. He's been struggling with wanting more adventure, wanting things to be different than what he sees as his boring life. But sometimes when you get outside of that bubble, you realize that what you had and you thought was boring was actually kind of special. You know, 33 is talking about pillaging and ransacking things. And Wim walks off during that and I don't think we've seen him like this yet.
Yeah, it was kind of, a flip with him, because, the whole crew is fascinated, enthralled by, SM-33 telling the tale of Renaud, and what's a concubine? But, they're all so into it, except for Wim, which is very surprising, because he's the one who just cares about stories and adventures so much. And so, as the most adventurous and imaginative person, you see him in a place we've never seen him before, where he's starting to feel the weight of the situation. He's missing home. He's getting worried. He's scared. And I think it's also SM-33 talking about where they're headed. Lanupa, even though he doesn't give it that name at first, but talking about, oh, it's my home world. It's where I'm from. I can't wait to go home. Home is such, it's going to be so good to be back home. And and everything he's saying is just kind of pelting onto Wim more and more, and he's got to get away from it.
Yeah. I called it Jod's pep talk, because I feel like he took the time to sit with Wim and talk him through this. And it kind of reminds me of what Wim was doing last week with Fern when she was struggling herself. And it just shows you how quickly things can change from you being the person that's comforting someone else to being the person who needs the comforting.
Yeah. And the way that ended, again, because he lifts the pad using the Force back up to him. And then Wim asks Jod, if you're not really a Jedi, how'd you do that? And all that Jod's answer is just to shoulder bump him, that little nudge, that little. And I was trying to see how I'm supposed to take that. Like, is he just being cheeky with the kid? Or is it like a nod to maybe some truth to the Jedi thing? Like, do you really believe I'm not a Jedi? It's like, it's still such a huge mystery about Jod that I need answers on. But then I also wondered, I started to question, which I don't know if I want this show to go this direction with things, because I kind of like the outside of the Jedi story a little bit, because a lot of that's been played out so much. But part of me, just the way these stories go, I'm like, well, if Jod is trained in the Force, is this little connection that he has to Wim important? Does he see or sense something in this kid more than just a powerful imagination? And I start wondering, could Wim be Force sensitive to some degree, and Jod's picking up on that and pushing him in a direction? I don't know. Just like little things like that make me question and curious. I'm like, man, so layered, anything that he says or does with him in this moment, where I'm like, how do you read Jod in any of these moments, and what it could mean so many different things?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for a couple of different directions, and I don't know currently what they're going to do, but I'm on board for whatever, because I really like these kids and I like their teamwork and I like how they've come together. I'm interested in what their reaction's going to be once they go down in the trapdoor and Wim has taken them there himself on a whim, flipped the lever, if they're going to be happy with him or disappointed or upset. Because I mean, in that brief minute, I think he probably did the right thing to get them out of that situation, because they're so upset at Jod's betrayal, especially Fern, who feels like she's always been this strong person, and now she likely feels like she's let everyone down, but she's a kid. She's not able to go in hand-to-hand combat with an adult. I mean, it's not realistic. If she had gone head-to-head with him and beaten him, that I would have just been saying, what on earth did I just watch? Because this is nothing. it doesn't follow through with anything else that I've seen in this show.
What else? I've got a few other points, but I don't want to just keep taking the lead on all the points. And you've got other stuff too.
One of my points I think you probably have a lot on too is this legend of Tak Rinnat.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Which Tak Rinnat, immediately when he said that name, I thought back to last week, episode 4, when they're arriving at Akron, and they're coming in, and Jod looks out at the planet beneath them. You remember what he said? He goes, Rinnad's ghost.
I mean, we talked about it last week. Did he go and destroy these worlds?
Well, as an exclamation of him going, Renid's ghost. And so now we're saying, oh, that it's a pirate exclamation because Renid is like this like well-known figure to them. Of course, Renid being Donner backwards because he is named as a nod to Richard Donner, the director of Goonies.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's a fun little Easter egg there. That's where they came up with that, and I love it so much.
Well, I've gotten too afraid to Google things.
Credit to that one goes to Eric Voss with New Rock Stars. So I don't Google either, but I mean, a show like this, it's not as bad because it's not like you're really in fear of spoiling episodes you haven't got to yet when it's all dropped.
Right, but what I'm afraid of, Paik, is if I Google before we have recorded this podcast, I don't know if this character exists. And if I Google it and find out, oh yes, Tacrinod was blah, 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 and he reappeared in some movie. Like, I don't, those are the things I don't want to know. Okay, like, there are things I don't want to know. And so I've stopped Googling most things, and I'm trying not to dig into stuff. But it's hard because when I get immersed in a show, I like to know everything that I can. The lore of this show and the movies and the world is far too big for me to be able to immerse myself in without just getting stuck there in a rabbit hole for, like, months. And so I'm staying away from it.
But I love that this show lives on its own very well, where you don't need all of that. It's very much in its own bubble, but there's, like, little things. Like, even, like I said, like, the whole Scipio and the moon thing with – it's one of those little things. It's like, you didn't know that. Did it affect the scene or anything for you at all? No. For me, it's like, oh, that's funny. You know, like, it's
– I was just excited to see a hut because I'm like, I know what that is. I know what that is. Okay, yep. All right, what else am I going to see that I actually know what it is? But I was really nervous when they were going to re-engage 33 because I wasn't sure what he was going to do. So they had him tied down, which I was grateful for because I just didn't want him to hurt anyone. And I love that KB had rerouted the memory chip, so hopefully that would keep him from going bananas and hurting anybody. But I like that we got to see a little bit more or learn a little bit more about the Onyx Cinder, which we were introduced to the name, and Tacrinod, kind of the story is behind him. Like, he's infamous, it seems like.
Yeah.
And they don't know the coordinates right away, and so 33 wants to take them to Tac's hideout in this dangerous Skull Ridge Mountain. Only it doesn't look like 33 remembered it.
Yeah, I mean, we got to head to this planet that's definitely dangerous and fearsome and totally not pleasurable in any way at all to find that lair.
Yes. Only it's become a spa.
Yeah. Which is such a great running joke with SM33. He's got some great stuff. Like, you mentioned, like, him being tied down or whatever, but, like, you know, where he just wakes up like, what do you want? Which I love Neil. He was about to tear us apart, limb from limb. And I was like, yeah, it's verbatim what he said. You remember? Yes. But then after it was like, yeah, I'm not going to hurt y'all. And it was like, well, we need to, you know, go find this place. And he was like, okay, let's go. And then just sits up and breaks out of the ropes and the chains. Like, he was never restrained. It's just funny.
No, he definitely
that's not going to hold him.
Thought it was funny that he was able to just do that and not be.
Yeah.
I mean, you might think you have him restrained, but you definitely don't.
Yeah, and just the running joke of him being so disgusted of what this planet has become.
Oh my gosh. You know,
he's devastated that his homeworld of filth and violence has been ruined and turned into a luxury spa resort.
Yep.
You know, where's the fighting pits? You can't play a shanty on a harp.
Yeah, he's pretty upset about it. He does not like what's happened to it because he's filled the kids' heads full of this scary place that they're going to, and then it's not that place.
No man would dare to enter. What about those over there?
Yeah. Yeah. It just is crazy. But then 33 also, he talks about the mutiny that happened, that Tak was betrayed by his own concubine, stabbed with a dagger, but he got the last laugh because he locked the controls so they would crash on at Aten. So given what's happened on Lanupa,
Battle World.
Yeah, a lot has happened. So, you know, again, they were stuck, or that ship, if we didn't think so already, that ship had been there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's Spa World.
Oh, yeah. Well, long enough to have been buried under so much ground and dirt and earth and foliage. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have an exact time reference, but I mean, it's Old Republic times when that happened, it feels like. So
yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I still have this feeling that he went around to the other planets and destroyed them because he was looking for something. Mm. And it turns out it was on at Aten.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so
mystery.
I know. I want to know, just,
who is Tak Rinnad? There's gotta be a fun reason his face was obscured in the captain's log.
I was gonna say that, yeah.
It's gotta be.
Like, who is it? It's again, that's not like
by accident.
Like the supervisor, like, who is it?
Right.
I want to meet these people.
Is it one and the same? Did Rinnad survive the crash and then become the supervisor?
Oh, my goodness, maybe.
Keeping the treasure for himself forever.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Very well could be. I mean, we don't know, but, I mean, these are just fun speculations on our part, but I think that's some of the fun of this show is, you don't take your speculation too seriously. It's all very much, okay, well, this could happen, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how it feels, because you can't watch ahead. You only have week to week, and you can't get spoiled so much. So I really appreciate that. But there's so much mystery still about Tak Rinnad. Again, like you said, we couldn't see his face in that digital thing where he was speaking, and I'm like, can I recognize the voice? I don't know who that is, but who is it? Like, why couldn't we see his face?
There's definitely a reason for that. Yeah.
I'm always
curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my last like main point, which I've already thrown in some stuff about, is just this, their mission of finding Aten and trying to get into this layer where they're going. Talked a little bit about getting there, of course, coming up with this plan. If we've got to find the entrance and again, with him panic mode while the kids are arguing about who gets to go where with who, and it's driving him insane. You take the sensory gymnasium, Professor Gorlax. Gorlax. Yeah. We're not searching the buffet. Just so much great stuff.
I just love that they're doing the kids things.
Yeah,
like, these are all things that kids would worry about. Well, I don't want to go down there. I don't want to hold this person's hand when I'm going on this adventure. Like, I don't want to go scouting things out with this person. And it's such a totally kid thing to do.
Yeah. It's just like, KB won't go to the you know, spa part. So it's like, okay, well, then KB, you go here. And it's like, so KB, and it's like SM33, Fern and Wim. And then Neil's like, I want to be with Wim. And it's like, no, because you have to go. It's like,
yeah. Again.
Does it matter? And then Fern's, I'm on KB's team. I don't care. It's on what team. Just come on.
I think that just further solidifies for him that these kids may need to be saved from themselves.
Yeah.
They just may not be capable. I mean, they've done a great job as far as they've gotten, but they may need better protection.
Yeah. But I love, yeah, so they get down into the tunnels, thanks to Catholops.
Oh my Catholops gosh.
That's great. But yeah, they get down to the tunnels to go to Rinnad's lair, and we have officially added Indiana Jones into the reference stack on this show. We have our own hidden temple rigged with traps to traverse to find a hidden treasure. Which I love. Luckily, the kids are too short for decapitation beams. So,
oh my gosh.
but then the gravity spike trap was
so
brutal.
I thought it was very clever.
Gunter, don't play.
If we were talking about this on Run for Lives, it would be we'd be talking about it, like how clever it is and cool. Yeah.
Yeah, gravity thing. Yeah, it's like the guy's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's just a, and then blaster bolt. Yep. So Gunter, don't play. Did he do that? He definitely did.
Did you just do that? You definitely did.
Indeed. And of course, we get the pool of acid that comes with a riddle, which KB just ready to assume someone has to die. Like, girl, chill. But no, I guess it's easier than that. Just a little hidden credit will do. Although it took a while to do something, and part of me, while watching it on the first time, kind of hoped Jod would throw the credit in and then nothing would happen, just for the laugh. Like, there was a part of me that was like, and nothing. It's not going to be the answer. No, it's not going to work. And there goes their last credit. Just the dark humor in me is like, that would be hilarious.
I actually thought, because it took a minute, that nothing was going to happen. I'm like, what? I thought that pirates wanted money or bounty. That doesn't work.
And again, because I watched it with Riley, so it was, I tend to kind of joke around and talk with it as well. And it was that same thing where they were like, it's a life. And I was like, oh my God, this is getting dark. And then it was like, no, it's like, what's the one thing that matters more to him than that? And before Neil and Wim are even saying it in Fern, I was like, treasure. Like, I knew it.
Of course.
What does a pirate care about?
Well, the acid, too, goes back to something 33 had said earlier about it didn't used to be mud in those pits. It was acid. Mm-hmm. And it was to dissolve the bodies of Renaud's victims.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, there's no acid there now. And, of course, it came up later because they have to get across it. So. Yeah, they don't bring something up for no reason. I feel like there's always something tied to something else, and it comes back into play.
So those are all my main points. I've got some just other random notes. Do you have any other points to talk about?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we do get to see a little bit of what is going on back on Atten at the beginning of the episode. And we learned that Wendell is not someone that you would trust to do stealth work because he is a wreck when it comes to utilizing things that he's not supposed to be doing.
Speak of the classic kid moves. Wendell pulls one off. It's the thing that you see little kids do. And then here you are with a full grown adult doing it with the whole, what's behind your back? Let me see your hands. Other hand, both hands at the same time. Yeah. It's like, you know, that doesn't work. Because I'm sure Wim has tried that on him. You know, that's not going to work.
I know. And they're trying to get an access code. And Wendell meets just before that with Neil's mom because they're trying to figure out where their kids are. They're not taking no for an answer. I appreciated that because I just wasn't sure what the parents were going to be able to do. And so they are trying to do some things. Luckily, Fern's mom, Farah, is able to tell the droid to delete its memory.
Yeah, it's like, of course, he gets caught, but the boss he gets sent to is Farah. So it's like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, Wendell is just begging Farah to do something because the proper channels are not going to work because there is such a secrecy around Atten that they don't want anyone to know it exists. So going out or putting out a beacon, wondering about where these kids are, is only going to draw attention to a place that no one is supposed to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really all we got from that, but I appreciate that the parents are doing something.
Yeah, because at first Farrah's kind of, you know, frustrated with him, like, you need to be more patient, you need to be more careful, let's do it the right way. But he's right, he's like, the supervisor's not going to help.
No.
We know, it's like, we're not going to be able to send any kind of transmission through. They have decided the safety and mystery and protection of this planet is way more important than those kids. And they don't care. And Farah realizes he's right. Because I like that the last thing we get from them in this episode at all, where we leave off with them, is her just turning into him going, what's the plan?
Yeah. There was some sort of access code that Neil's mom wanted Wendell to get. Which is why he was doing that. but it raised a red flag because of the energy, I guess. And so the droid was all in on it. I love the annoyance that the droid had of him with the hands. Sir! Both hands at the same time. It was great. I mean, you could tell he was just annoyed. I'm like, I didn't know that droids were able to get annoyed, but I guess they are.
If you watch enough Star Wars, droids got some attitude. They got their own personalities for sure. I mean, come on. R2-D2 is the sassiest droid of all time.
Probably, yeah.
Doesn't even have to speak common.
Nope.
just binary, and he's still the sassiest in the world.
Yeah, so those were all of my main points.
You didn't watch Ahsoka, did you?
I did not.
You got a meat chopper. That's a sassy droid. That's a war criminal of a droid.
oh, goodness.
Love Chopper so much. I'm going to get you to watch everything eventually.
You keep... you've done a really good job. You have. You've got me to watch quite a few things.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I could get you into watching Rebels. But you can watch Ahsoka and you get some Chopper there. So, a little bit of him. But yeah, and then just Lanupa itself was really interesting. I'm just kind of into extra notes at this point. But... Yeah, welcome to Lanupa, a neutral planet where all are welcome if they keep the peace. Violators will be shot down. Just
that made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because at the end, or not at the end, but near the end when the pirates arrive,
mm-hmm.
they do not, they're just blowing stuff up right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then this hotelier working on Lanupa, just the look of disgust. As this bucket of bolts ship comes mm-hmm. plopping down and things falling off of it, to where she's immediately like, get a like waste disposal team here. Something's going to go wrong. Like, we're just, what is this? And then, yeah, most wise elders.
yeah.
Ridiculous genre shticky bit, but it's hilarious and I love it. I'm still so curious about KB. In a lot of ways, she's still such a mystery to me. Like, she's clearly worried about corrosion from the steam, as Fern says, even though she feels like seems embarrassed by that as she's deflecting. It's like, no, it's just gross. And then we even see, like, she gets hit by a little bit of steam and she's like, it's not even like, ah, pain, but like almost like it gives her like immediate like migraine for a second. She's like groaning and holding her head. I'm like, OK, something is like with wiring and what is KB? Who yeah. is KB? I need yeah. so much. What's her deal?
We may get the KB-centric episode.
I'm needing a KB episode soon. I'm ready for her to take her pop to take center stage soon. Let's do it.
Now that you have those pops,
yes.
it's going to be even more exciting when we get ready to record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she had a great moment. I mean, her mighty wrench was the exact weapon she needed at a time. What are you going to do with that? And I feel like Jod was like, I don't know what she's going to do with this, but it's going to be great. So Jod respects KB. He does.
Well, because she's the one who's not being completely outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she does have some, like, reserve or... And she is reserved a little bit at times, and I think he likes that. But she did hold up that wrench, and I was just like, I don't know. But with her, like you just said, if she's got something in her hand, there is a use for it, and it is going to be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it was.
It's just a lot of this show is just me like jumping from like kid to kid, being like, God, I love Neil. Oh, God, I love Wim. I love him. I love KB. They're all just so great. All fantastic.
They are quite a foursome. They are. They're mm-hmm. a force to be reckoned with. The four of them together. I'm starting to think about when this adventure ends, like, where do they go from here? Because nothing they do at home is ever going to live up right. to what they've been through on mm-hmm. this adventure.
And then last, I think we talked to Catholops a little bit, but just others like okay, Catholops, what exactly do attendants smell like? you don't smell like an attendant. are you a traitor? Are you an assassin? But, yeah, he was interesting. He seemed quite scary, but he's just a chill guy who likes a good story.
Oh, yeah. He wants him to come back and tell more.
regaling him with the tales of Captain Fern and the Onyx Cinder. He seems to have like some kind of psychic connection to some things. Like he's got a really good read on people. So the fact that he Jod comes in, he goes, "Oh, this is Jod," and then like sniffs him and goes, "Yeah, you shouldn't trust him." Like, come on, guys, listen to Catholicism.
Yeah, I feel like they got that multiple times in this episode. Yeah. Again, more and more. They heard it back with Kim, and it's just continued to be a thing. Don't trust him. And I think that they just feel like they have to. I feel like they can't. They don't feel like they have a choice. I love that Catholicism was kind of shrouded in darkness until we get to actually see him. So you hear his voice kind of first, and then you get to see what he looks like. And again, he looks kind of scary, but he ends up helping them.
Yeah.
You can't judge a book by its cover.
All right. Well, that's all the notes I've got.
And you know what? That is everything I have. There was only one more thing I wanted to mention. Our next episode is going to be directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yay! Yeah, that's exciting. I was excited for the Daniels, and I'm also super excited for Bryce Dallas Howard. She does some great stuff, and she's not new to the Star Wars world. She's done a few episodes of Mandalorian, I believe, as well. So she knows what she's doing, and I'm excited to see what she does with episode 6.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a second with some listener feedback. And we're back with listener feedback, and this is a holiday week, so things are a bit crazy. But we did hear from Catherine, and she says, "Sweet Concubine Questioning Neil is still number one, but SM33 may be number two with as many thwarted attempts at violence, rage at buffets, and concern for the lack of fighting pits." Catholicism is adorable and so helpful with just some story time. I'm hoping he returns to help the kids out of wherever they are. I didn't think about that. That could be cool. I don't remember much about Hutz. When the creature said, "No, not again," as he was being eaten, does that mean he somehow survives? When Jod threw the last credit into the acid, I really thought he was part of the team, but I'm not sure how he can come back after what he did to Fern. Oh, Wim. His attempt at the lightsaber was valiant, but at least he knows how to work a booby trap.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, some great stuff. Man, I'm excited for... Can it just be... And again, the next episode's airing on friggin' New Year's Eve. I'll be up. I'll be doing stuff. Why not? Will I be sober enough to watch it when I get home? Who knows, but we'll try.
I'm willing to bet you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to want to wait.
I'm so excited. But all right, for this week, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Our next episode, Skeleton Crew, Season 1, Episode 6.
Yeah, so if you would like to write in, leave us a message, any feedback, anything for that episode, or any of the other ones, if you're catching up, you just find all of our information over at podcastica.com. You can send us feedback on our Facebook page, or also voicemails, emails, wherever, over at skeletoncrew@podcastica.com as well.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Yeah, Podcastica's got a lot of fun stuff going on, wrapping up Cobra Kai Part 2 of this final season right now over on Cobra Kai Cast. Squid Game, like, just dropped, probably as we're recording this, so... That's going to be out, so of course the coverage of that will start very soon. As you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on release day, Daphne and Jason and David are recording episode 1 right now, so definitely check that out when those are released. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. Run for Your Lives, me and Daphne's other podcast, our monster movie, horror movie, creature feature podcast. We're wrapping up our season right now, so... You know, we released a Christmas special with Violent Night this week, And then next week we'll have our kind of look back special. We'll kind of go back over all the movies we covered this season and give our little riffle awards, favorite movies, episodes, characters, things like that. And then we'll take a little break and then we'll still be over here talking Star Wars after that. So go check out some good Running for Your Life stuff as well.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's also our 200th episode.
Again, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
And keep it wizard.